My star guest today is an actor and singer associated with many of our favourite shows. From Robert and Elizabeth to Les Mis to Me and My Girl, David Alder has spent a lifetime treading the boards in the West End and beyond. Many stories, I'm sure, and I'm very, very pleased to be able to welcome David to the programme today. David Alder, welcome to Community Connections.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Lovely to meet you too.
Now, I shouldn't say this, but this all started back in the 60s, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I managed to get about 57 years in the business. But, yeah, 60s was a funny time. When I first started, I did train at Drama Centre, well known as Trauma Centre. Well, Simon Callow, Piers Brosnan, all sorts of people were there. After me, I was one of the first intake there, but it was very method and extreme. But whilst I was there, I was doing dance classes, singing lessons on my own with other places, because in those days musical theatre was looked down on and there wasn't an embracing course anywhere, because I knew I had a large singing voice. And I was a character actor, so you have to wait until you get to the ripe age. But then going into the business, you had to be 6 foot to go into West End shows, because very often the girls were tall, and especially sort of with the lighter musical types, they were tall women, girls in the shows. So therefore, my first job, well, I was forever on the road as a period piece. I was doing like your Edwardian 1920s things, etc. And so for about 5 years, I was teetering around the country, doing summer shows and pantomimes and heaven knows what, until the time when they decided that you had to cut down the companies. Because when you think, like in My Fair Lady, there were 16 singers and 16 dancers in the chorus, let alone your principals. And actually, Robert and Elizabeth was a cast of about 42 as well. So going back to performing, when the early 70s, when you had to have somebody who could have the triple threat, the sing, dance, act, my dancing was sort of like done with great enthusiasm. But I did do a lot of classes, which stood me in good stead over all the years. But I still have my singing lessons now because, as Angela Lansbury said, you've got to be ready in case you're asked. So really, that was the start. And from the time they wanted people who could do everything, then my career sort of really took off better then.
Had you been destined for the stage when you were growing up? Had you always been a bit of a thespian, even at school?
Yes, but when you're at a grammar school and they do science and languages, you think... yes, well, where do I go from here? And a best friend at college, at school, said, I see that High Wycombe Art College is having an entrance exam, and as art is our best subject, let's go and have a look. Anyway, I went to art college at High Wycombe and discovered with the music students as well, I belonged to the theatre. I was always mad about the theatre, but my parents had no money, so it had to be done by... in a roundabout way. So I was going to be a costume designer and set designer, and I did get into two of the London colleges to do that. But the art college were very crafty and were clever. They said, we'll get you a job one day a week backstage in the West End, and you can decide whether you want to be on the stage or backstage. And it was at the Savoy Theatre. And it was the Dolly Cart during the season. And I realised that, yes, I want to be on it. I don't want to be whatever. And at the art college with the students, etc., we used to put on operettas. And I used to put on reviews. And we had wonderful policy there. We had a lovely girl called Veronica, who became a Hammer Horror film star, Veronica Carlson. When in doubt, shove out Veronica with very little on, and that guaranteed full houses all the time. And that's how I got my how I got my grant to go to drama school, because I think the chief education officer was so impressed with Veronica, he said to me, "Do you want to go to drama school?" I said, Very much so. With a lot of I had to do pass lots of tests, but then that's how I got to drama school eventually. So, and that kicked me off. But my background, no, my mother had a beautiful singing voice. My father played the euphonium when he was a young boy with the Great Western Railway Silver Band, I think it was. Yes, they used to have, all these unions, etc., or railway men, etc. They had their own bands, musical bands, etc., and that's what he belonged to. So there was music in the family, but I was the first one to actually go on it, which was probably very irresponsible, although I did make a living, so thank God for that.
Well, that's something we've got in common, David. My father also played the euphonium in the Burnham and Highbridge Town Band.
Good Lord. Oh, fantastic. Yes, I think it's when you hear music always in your back in the background when you're young, it feeds the soul. And I find nowadays too, if you're feeling a bit dreary, ghastly, put on some lovely music and it changes your whole mood. It's a great healer.
On the subject of background, you started, as you said, working behind the scenes in a theatre at the behest, really, of your drama college. Did that help you when you got onto stage to actually appreciate everything that goes on within the theatre?
Oh yes, because I've worked as a dresser. I actually dressed George Chakiris from West Side Story fame, Bernardo. He was over here doing Dracula, Passion of Dracula, it was, I think, and I dressed him on that. Also, with when I was doing Summer Seasons, having trained to be doing costume design, etc., I knew how things were made, and if I hadn't got anything, I would run it up on the machine. But what was more interesting that later on in life, for 16 years, I was a backstage tour guide at the Royal Opera House, and I used to take everybody around, like the wardrobes, the workshops, the ballet studios, props, etc. And of course, my knowledge for costume, it all came back. And also with the design side, etc., it was wonderful describing sets and costumes, etc., and how they were made because I knew a bit about it, and because the staff realized I was interested and knew something, they used to invite me around before taking the people around, saying, "Shall we put this out for you, David? Because they'll like that, I think." And we had a wonderful working relationship. So on my tours, they got a much better deal than anybody else. So that was fantastic.
It strikes me, David, more than anything, just how much you enjoy what you do. Does it feel like you never do a day's work in your life?
Oh, no. When you're twice and three times a day on pantomime for several weeks, you are killing yourself. I also was in, I did in the days in the 70s. I did, I can't really mention this, the Black and White Minstrels. And also, I did Mike Yarwood Show, which again, in those days, they were twice nightly. And then very often on a Sunday, you would be doing some other show as well on the Sundays. So we worked 7 days a week, doing 14 shows a week. So that was the hard time. And you lost weight. It was wonderful. You could eat 4 meals a day and lose weight. It was fantastic. It's quite
You
different now.
have done so much in your career, but I think it's right that we concentrate on a couple of maybe the most famous shows that you've been in. I know Les Mis you were in, particularly I know that because I saw it when you were in it, and your name, when I was reading through and planning, I thought, David Alder, that rings a bell. Such an amazing musical, one that we've had many stars from on the programme over the
Yeah,
years.
yes.
What is
It
it that makes a really good musical?
a lot of it is luck in a funny way, because all the critics were against that show particularly. And if it wasn't for Cameron and one other man that sort of virtually remortgaged their homes, they got it on. And if it wasn't for that and their belief in it, it would never have happened. So really, that was just amazing. I went in. The original cast had just was some of them were still there, But one of the cast had died, and I was in Me and My Girl, and Cameron knew me and said, how long is David's contract with your show, Me and My Girl? And they said, oh, he's got another 3 months. He said, could you release him? And so they did. I was lucky. I don't think I would have got into Les Mis if I'd auditioned for it, because you had to audition for these things at least 4, 8, 9, 10 times before they decided they wanted you. Yes, that was it was a very exciting time at the beginning, because it was still very creative, and you knew you were at the birth of something enormous. The other shows that really were mega huge ones that I liked was Annie. I joined the original company with Stratford Johns and Sheila Hancock as a swing. That's where you a swing is someone who I covered seven men, and I had to any time I could play any one of their roles if they were off sick or on holiday. And there was another act who did the same. So some nights, especially if there was a flu epidemic, you find yourself having a conversation with yourself on stage because you were playing several roles all at the same time. So that was, and then I went back to do the revival. So that there again, working with the original composers and writers of those shows were tremendous. My favorite one of them all was, it only ran for a year, was She Loves Me. And working with Bock and Harnick, of course, they wrote Fiddler on the Roof, and the director or the choreographer. Now this is where the names go terribly, because his Robert Marshall, Rob Marshall, because he directed the film, you know, Into the Woods and Chicago and all sorts of other lovely things. And his sister, she's doing Top Hat this year down at Chichester, and she also did, of course, the Anything Goes that was last year and the year before at the Barbican. So working with those people and some of our British writers, I had a long friendship with dear Sandy Wilson, because I did the boyfriend for him in the 60s, and we stayed friends right up until his 90th birthday, and he passed away shortly after that. But it was working with these the creatives is very exciting, especially the American ones. I did Kismet on the BBC, which was wonderful because it had a chorus of 40, big cast, in costume, in concert for the BBC. Where they used to do songs on musicals on a Sunday night. Of course, Forrest and Wright, who wrote it, s were still alive, and they wrote. You know, because Kismet is based on some of the Borodin music. And they said nobody ever really appreciated how our music blended in with it. You couldn't tell what was theirs and what was the original. And one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life was from them, because I played the Wazir, and I had a wonderful number called Wazir. I was. And at the end of the broadcast, they said, we could have written that part for you, you know, David. And I went, that to me is one of the things I shall take, you know, to my grave. I thought it was, I was so in awe of them, and also very thrilled that I was in that they thought highly of me. That was lovely. Sorry, yeah.
You've been working almost continuously since the 1960s with some of the biggest names in theatre.
Yeah.
Do you ever sometimes pinch yourself and think, how did that young lad back in the late 50s and 60s actually build a career like this?
Yes, well, it was like when I was doing like She Loves Me, when I was a student, you know, 33 years later, I think, well, that person doing the props is now actually doing a featured role. You know how exciting. But it's working my one of my I'm so glad I worked twice with 2 seasons of Scrooge with Anthony Newley. Anthony Newley was a huge inspiration, and I learned a hell of a lot from him. Because when you're doing a long run, I noticed very cleverly in the last few weeks, he would slightly change the intonation of his voice, which meant I had to think how I actually replied because I couldn't rely on my repeated way of saying things. I had to rethink, which kept my mind on the ball right to the bitter end. I thought, what a clever thing you're doing, Tony, because you're keeping us all fresh by doing that.
There is a danger, I guess, when you are in a show that you're doing the same or similar every single night, that it can become almost like a conveyor belt. And once that happens, you're not giving it the best and the audience aren't receiving it the best.
I get very cross with people that get bored. I can get tired, etc. But if you've got a good team around you, you all work together to keep your spirits up and just give a little edge to things, etc. And that keeps it alive. And you can repeat and keep going because the people around you are either twinkling a bit. You think, oh dear, something's going to happen, but. It's those little wonderful moments. There's that wonderful story of Noel Coward with the Lunts, because he used to, they all he, well, they used to get bored doing their plays, but he arranged for the phone on the stage to go off during one of the scenes, and anyway, it rang on stage right in the middle of the scene, and Lynn Fontanne was sort of bit mesmerized for a second there, when she picked up the receiver and went, "Hello, oh, it's for you," and handed it to Noel Coward. When you've got wonderful artists like that who can do things for like that and just keep things fresh, just a little, as long as the audience is aware of it as well. In Les Miserables, you were lit with a 40-watt bulb. I can't tell you when it went down on that dim darkness and all that smoke. I get liable for what really was going on sometimes in that smoke. But yes, we kept going on that one as well. So that's fun. Yes.
We are sadly coming towards the end of our time, but what I did want to explore with you was the musical Me and My Girl,
Oh, yeah.
gorgeous musical. Jessica Martin, who was in the original cast, has been on the program. And I know recently you've had a cast reunion, Robert Lindsay and the rest of the crew were there. Some of these shows, do you actually stay quite close to your theatre family, even over the years?
Yes, you do, because you work with them again and again. I was in it at the beginning with Robert Lindsay and Emma Thompson. Then it's when I went back into it, or then, of course, it was Sue Pollard and then Lorraine Chase. All of those I keep in touch with definitely with Lorraine and with Sue. And then dear Jessica, I see her. I always go and see her in whatever show she's doing. And we've done Panto together. I've done big tours. I did with dear Sue. We did Pirates of Penzance for a year, whizzing around the country with Gary Wilmot, who also was in Me and My Girl. These big shows, because they're on for so long, and you're working with so many people, your careers you keep meeting because you're in the same world.
What is David Alder doing at the moment then? What's on the calendar, David?
Yes, eating black magic chocolates and painting. And having large chins. No, it's I did this year. I did 8 weeks of pantomime at the Brick Lane Music Hall, which I just love working there because it's all old pros that give a wonderful, wonderful season of pantomime, and it's slightly rude, and but that's what everybody comes for.
David, you're still a young pro to us. Can I thank you so much for joining us on the programme today? It's been an absolute pleasure. Come back on, tell us more about your life when you've got another show that you're going into. I think there's another two or three interviews in your life.
So that would be a pleasure to do so. Thank you, Andrew.
David Alder, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.